The IRS says six of its 19 information technology programs are running below cost and ahead of schedule, and the agency says the others are experiencing cost overruns and schedule delays, but the IRS may not know if that's actually true. Dave Pounder's director of information technology management issues at the Government Accountability Office. He is looking at whether or not the IRS can accurately report its progress. Dave, what's the context? First of all, it's great to have you on the program. What is the history or the context of a discussion about where the IRS is today when it comes to IT investments?
Well, Francis, if you look back, the IRS years ago, when you look in the late 80s, early 90s, they were probably the poster agency for poor IT management. There were many failures with a modernization effort called the tax systems modernization, a lot of starts and stops, wasted money. And it led to really intense congressional oversight. GAO added IRS IT management, or the business systems modernization, to our high risk in 1995. And basically what happened from that point on, there was annual reviews by GAO for the appropriation committees on both the House and Senate side, where we looked at what was called expenditure plans. And basically what that did is IRS had to tell the Congress everything they were going to spend every dollar on for that next year before they got their funds appropriated, and GAO had to review those plans. So if you fast forward from 1995, 18 years later, in 2013, we took IRS's IT management or business systems modernization off our high-risk list. And I will say that, you know, we look at a lot of different IT shops across the federal government. It's probably one of the best IT organizations in the federal government if you look at their project management capabilities and if you look at their governance capabilities. And, you know, our work kind of shows that. And I think TIGDA, too, the internal with their IG, there's always issues, and there's still issues at IRS, but it's always pretty balanced, and you see some real strong IT leadership and very good processes that allows them to deliver. One great example is if you look at what happened with the Affordable Care Act and everything that happened with the website, how that was well publicized. You know, IRS was ready to go with their portion of ACA. They had a secure connection to CMS, and if you look at how they managed ACA internally, I mean, they have an associate CIO for ACA and a program office, and they were really focused, and everything was ready initially from an IRS point of view there.
I definitely want to talk about the information in your latest report because this is instructive, but I wonder what's been successful about that oversight by Congress in the case of the IRS that might be translatable to other agencies that are still on the high-risk list, because you well know there are plenty of situations where Congress's oversight has not made much of a dent in issues that agencies are dealing with in IT investment.
Well, you know, I think one big takeaway when you look at what IRS, it starts with the people, Francis, and they were granted what was called critical position pay authority, which allowed and Congress gave them these authorities, which allowed them to hire certain individuals, including IT leaders, at a salary that's actually above the top SES level now. So that, you know, it started with them hiring the right people, and then I think it was just consistent oversight on an annual basis where they really didn't let up. In fact, it got to a point at one time where they whittled down their budget so small, they said, hey, if you're not going to be effective in delivering on cost and schedule on these projects, we're going to give you less and less money. And it got to a point where what they were actually appropriated was rather small, and that was Congress's whole intent, was let's start small, let them manage this small bucket of money, and then we'll grow it over time as they build the capacity. So it started with their people, their processes, and they really have a real nice governance structure where if you go into IRS and ask their executive what the status of those projects are, they know what they are because they have really effective governance.
So I know your role is not to do the political stuff, Dave, but it strikes me that as you describe that, at some point in time, I imagine there was a political decision where people from each party and people from each chamber said, this is so important that this can't continue to be screwed up. And so we're going to plan a conscious strategy, as you just described, cut and cut and cut the money until they can manage what they have and then scale. And maybe that's the piece that I don't see in some of the other things that are still on the high risk list. There's a willingness by other members to just say, well, we need to give them more money so they can do more things.
Yeah, and you know, and this was both, you know, House and Senate appropriators year after year, you know, both majority and minority on both the House and Senate Appropriations Committee. And there was, you know, and I will say, working with those folks over the years, there was you know, tremendous oversight of the IRS. And you know, you look at the importance of what IRS is doing. I mean, those systems are used to collect tax revenues. Clearly there's fraud detection systems so that we get as much, you know, tax revenue as possible, that people are accurately reporting. And then from a customer service point of view too, you know, IRS wants and desires to issue refunds faster. I mean, the K-2 project that they currently deployed, you know, they went from batch processing to daily processing. So a lot of this is really important, not only from a tax collection point of view, from a revenue point of view for the nation, but you know, there's also this focus on, you know, customer service through the IRS and everything. And I think, you know, when you look at the criticality of what IRS does, it was, you know, the appropriate focus from the Congress.
Well, I appreciate that context and framework, Dave, because I think if one were to look at your latest report, which we have a link to at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, Dave Pounder of the Government Accountability Office with me, one might say, well, boy, this is really a mess. In the context of the way that you've just framed it, this strikes me as just a very small sliver of an issue that the IRS, hey, you guys, overall, it sounds like, hey, you guys are doing well, but here's one little element that would help you present that information better, rather than here's something they're really messing up.
Yeah, and you know, we can get into the findings of the report here, Francis. I think, you know, there's still room for improvement, and it starts with, you know, our first objective. You know, basically, what happens is now that the Congress, they don't require these expenditure plans, they get a quarterly report from IRS on their major IT investments. So there's 19 of them. And a quarterly reporting to the Congress is great, right? So the Congress is continuing with, even though it came off our high-risk list, with the rather rigorous oversight here. And what they asked us to do, and it's mandated in report language, in addition to their quarterly reports, we are to conduct an annual review of these 19 majors. How are those major projects doing? Is what they're reporting reliable? And do we have any other recommendations going forward? So if you look at the 19, there are, you know, three projects that are late, behind schedule, more than 10%, two that are over cost. One of those was ACA, one was their modernized e-file. So we know what projects are running behind schedule and which ones are over cost. There were six projects that were within the cost and schedule estimates, and then there were eight that were actually below cost or ahead of schedule. Now, that sounds great that you got some that are actually performing below cost and ahead of schedule, but that's not always a good news story, too, because what we found was, well, why are they below cost or ahead of schedule? And we found that there were some issues with cost estimation. They had poor estimates up front, and then there were also some issues where they were deferring some functionality, so there were scope deferrals. So even though they were saying, hey, we're below cost or ahead of schedule, they weren't getting everything done that they promised up front in their plans. So, you know, what we see here with these 19 majors that they're trying to deliver is, you know, some are within the 10%, some are overrunning, some are underrunning. I'm not certain that the underrunning is actually what we want either. But what's great here is we have tremendous transparency, and then Congress can ask the right questions on these projects so that we get more of them within the 10% threshold.
You write about the reporting and the data that they're handing in, and you say IRS's reporting would be more meaningful if it were supplemented with cumulative cost and schedule variances for the investments or investment segments, consistent with the Office of Management and Budget's guidance for measuring progress toward meeting investment goals. I mean, that sounds to me like, hey, there's a framework in place, and if you just followed the framework that was in place, it would be a lot easier to track these both for you and for us and for Congress.
Yes, absolutely. So here's what's happening with these 19 major projects. IRS does report what I would call at a very granular level. They report monthly on all these major projects. And then they report in a cumulative fashion on a fiscal year basis. And that's fine. I think you want that granular reporting down to that level of detail. But what you also want is you probably want it also reported to the Congress, like perhaps by release, or you could even do it by project with life cycle cost, but at least by release for some of these major projects. And so what we recommended, that was one of our key recommendations, that in addition to the granular reporting, that they also ought to report in this cumulative fashion, that we think that would be valuable in those quarterly reports that go to the appropriation committees. And clearly, that we discuss this with the appropriators, and they would like to see that cumulative reporting also.
Dave, we just have a minute or so left, but this report says in June 2012, you recommended that they do a quantitative measure of scope. They are not working on it and say they don't plan on working on it. What is that, and why do you think that's important and necessary?
Well, here's why you want scope reporting. If you go back to like earned value management, that's where you actually agencies report on these projects. You know, how are we doing on cost and schedule? But if you're doing great on cost and schedule and deferring scope, then you're really not doing great on cost and schedule. So earned value management, and there's other ways that you could actually quantify, say, hey, you know, we're within 10% of cost and schedule, but we only delivered 80% of the functionality we promised. That would be a quantitative measure of scope. And so we've actually recommended this for a while back, and we don't believe IRS has made enough progress on this quantitative measure of scope. We're going to keep the foot on the gas pedal that they should still report quantitatively to the Congress, but we said in the interim you ought to report qualitatively. So if you're delivering a project and you're, you know, 5% over on costs or schedule as an example, but you're deferring key functionality that you promised up front, at least report that in a qualitative fashion, which you could just explain it before this quantitative measure is put in place.
There's a lot more data in this, and I wish we had time to talk about it, Dave, but I appreciate the context at the top of this conversation because I think it's important to understand how far IRS has come before you dig into where they are today. I appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Fran.